Say hello to the most ghetto podcast in America, the Rapids Thugcast. Hello everyone, welcome to the Rapids Thugcast, episode 2, the dirtiest podcast in all of football, according to FC Dallas fans, and the official podcast of BurgundyWave.com, SB Nation's home for the Colorado Rapids. I'm here as always with Bulldog Ben and Jed Bertram. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing great, Chris. How about you?
Oh, well, I wasn't expecting you to ask me that, so I'll just say fine.
Oh, good.
You don't give a damn about me, do you?
How are you, Jed? How are you?
No.
As a person,
no,
I mean.
Not,
how are
I,
you?
No.
I think you burned that bridge just... now.
No.
I'm doing
all right,
fine.
Join us next week then when we have a new third guest because Jed quits the website forever. By the way, I'd like to thank my friend Starman, or Sean as he's known to people who aren't on the internet, for making us the lovely logo.
Thank you, Sean.
Yes, we have a logo. Jed hasn't Amazing. Seen it yet because we're keeping him informed.
I'm going to be so excited.
We like to keep, Jed in the dark as much as possible. Both literally and
see, everyone who's listening to this will have seen the logo because it'll be in the post, though, Jed.
Oh, nice.
that's why we got a logo, Jed. That's why we got a logo, you
and
see.
And I can
so
assure
can
you
it
is lovely.
Yeah, it's on, if you want to see it, it's on Burgundy Wave. It's in the sidebar. Cool. And it'll be in the post. Cool. All right, that's 4 minutes down the drain right there. Anyway, Porsche.
Yeah, Porsche.
That's our first topic of the day, Porsche. On,
huh?
What was it, Monday? I'm pretty sure it was Monday. Might have been Tuesday. I can't remember. The Rapids released a picture of a bunch of Rapids players test driving Porsches in the Pepsi Center parking lot, along with the very vague text of sponsor announcement coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
So Porsche will be sponsoring the Colorado Rapids in some manner. We're just not sure how.
Mm-hmm.
Many people have overreacted and said, oh, we're getting a jersey sponsor. I'm not quite so sure. What do you think?
Jed?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that one. It'd be pretty awesome if it was a jersey sponsor. I'd be cool with it as a jersey sponsor. But I don't think it's going to be that big.
Yeah, I'd be cool with it. I wouldn't be upset if it weren't. I know, you know, there's a couple fans out there who'd be... really upset if we didn't have a jersey sponsor or a kit kit sponsor
what?
Of some sort. a kit sponsor of some sort.
I kind of like not having a name of some brand on the front of our jersey. That's just me.
I just want to know what it does for us in the end. Like if it gets us a cool $6 million to go spend somewhere, maybe in the transfer market or all right. You know what? That's ridiculous. Why would we ever spend $6 million in the transfer market? But
that's how you get your creative attacking midfielder, Ben.
That's how you get your creative attacking Brazilian midfielder who no one knows about, right? But, you know, if it benefits the club in some way, I'm cool with it. You know, if it works for us and works for them, great. But I don't just want to have, like, a jersey sponsored just so that we can have something on the front of our, you know, on the front of our kits.
Yeah.
To be like, oh.
You mean like the Revs?
Yeah, right?
United Healthcare.
Right? And I mean, like, how low do you want to go? I mean, it's prime advertising for some people. So, you know, we should be asking for top dollar. I don't think we should take something for like, oh yeah, we'll pay you 400K for that. Like, just,
well, that's what Wisteria Credit Union gave us, right?
Yeah, but you know where they get to be? They get to be in the commercials.
Yeah.
that's what you get for 400K.
I don't know. Well, if Porsche is a company that has a fair bit of money, so
but Porsche,
if they were a jersey sponsor, it could be a fairly rich deal.
Could be. Porsche is also notorious for not sponsoring any teams, and if you'd think, since they're in Stuttgart, Germany, they'd sponsor Stuttgart first, but you know, I mean, maybe it is the case. Maybe they want to advertise with us. I don't know.
Not enough.
Or maybe
Colorado's
Del Taco was
Porsches.
Like, we're gonna sponsor the Colorado Rapids and we're gonna give them free Porsche test rides. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like something Del Taco would do.
Del Taco.
Well, it was, and we also have to wonder, like, was it a Porsche dealership, or was it actually? It seems like it was actually the Porsche people that showed up, like the actual
Deal and Dougs.
But yeah, was it Deal and Dougs, or is it
Deal and Dougs? Nobody beats a Deal and Doug deal. Nobody.
You know what? Let's not. Nobody. Do we want to give them free advertising too? Is that what we're doing?
Yes. I want a picture of Deal and Doug wearing the Superman outfit on the front of our jerseys.
Honestly, I bet you this is how.
I want it.
Just taking the pulse here. Most, I feel this way. I'm sure a lot of Rapids fans. It'd be really cool if Porsche was, you know, our kit sponsor, and we get their shield on there. It looks really nice. But I wouldn't be devastated if they weren't. If there's some other partnership where, I mean, it really just has to, it's about the benefit to the club more than just, like, looking like every other team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you could have Bimbo written all over your shirt. And I don't know about you guys,
yeah,
but that means something different.
That's the other
that means
point.
Something,
you know,
different.
I'd be fine
English
with Porsche just because it's not Bimbo.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
As long as we're not Bimbos, fine.
Because who wants to have?
Plus, it's a built-in rivalry with DC.
Right? Yep.
Hey, right there, more German rivalry with DC. VW versus Porsche.
You know, a
Porsche,
right, and a rivalry that we actually win. So
let's not get into that.
Rocky Mountain Cup. Oh.
You're not.
Are we ever gonna?
Fuck you guys. CCL draw was yesterday.
Speaking
and we
of
found
clubs
out,
that are
at the
actually
very
in the
least,
CCL
the teams that could be, yeah, the all the CCL, was, and we found out the teams that they could be facing. Although there's still a few games to be played in that manner. Obviously, the Rapids are in Group B. Mm-hmm. Real España from Honduras is in there. Santos Laguna will be taking on Olimpia and from Honduras. And let me just tell you how excited I am about the prospect of that, because Santos Laguna happens to be my FMF squad.
Ooh.
So the Hey-o. Chance to see them live would be quite pleasing for me. Plus, they've sucked recently, so the Rapids might beat them, and that would also be pretty awesome. And Metapan from, I don't even remember what that
is
country.
San Salvador?
San Salvador? Sure.
San Salvador, I believe.
That sounds closer than anything I could guess. Whose versus one of the... Someone's phone is ringing.
It's mine. It's not getting picked up.
Ben?
We're good. We're good.
If you're wondering why we're the most ghetto podcast in America, it's because we can't turn our damn phones to vibrate. During recording.
I always
anyway,
have my phone
no,
vibrate
Metapan,
for other
Metapan
reasons.
Metapan will take on one of the Caribbean teams. The four, Alpha United, Defense Force, the Islanders in Puerto Rico, and Tempete.
From Haiti.
Haiti, yes. And Defense Force from Trinidad and Tobago. I don't remember where Alpha United's from.
I don't either.
Couldn't tell you.
And if you don't know where Puerto Rico is from, then I'm sorry. Chile. You're just the kind of person we want listening to this podcast, actually.
Yeah.
If you don't know where Puerto Rico is from.
Just because, of course, I mean, I don't know if a lot of Rapids fans have heard about all these different clubs and, like, who we should be afraid of in any particular case. Like, who should we be nervous about? Actually, I think the Rapids got a pretty favorable draw. If you think about the clubs,
I was very happy
yeah,
about
very
this
happy about the draw here. Seattle and LA got pretty hard ones. Seattle, of course, even if they get through their little, little playoff thing, get to play in, they still have to face Monterey, which were the champions this year. Remember that game, guys? Remember that one?
I do remember that game. It was a great game.
I
was yelling, "Are you a Swazo?" to everyone I knew.
Guys, I was actually watching the highlights
Swazo!
From that yesterday. Just the look on whose face. Just everyone's face. Like Kyle Beckerman's
just
face.
I like Price's face at the end of the game, Jason Kreis. Just like a mixture of sickness, unbelief, and constipation, it looked like.
I know what that feels like. Right there. With
you
them.
Would. Yeah. Well, you work at Starbucks, so.
Yeah. Hey, don't tell these people that.
Yeah, don't. They might come in and visit him. What are you doing?
I'm trying to get them to stock him.
I work for DeLorean Motor
All
Company.
Yeah.
I put in the flux capacitors.
So, but speaking of these sorts of teams that we have, just to give people like a background of teams one ought to worry about, if there even is a team to worry about in this, because, you know, it was a fairly favorable draw, but I mean, there's still teams in there that can really pull an upset here, and the one I'm thinking about most is actually Olympia. Olympia is the one who has the most decorated history that I've seen out of anybody. They actually won both the Apertura and the Clausura last year, the 2009-2010 year, which got them – oh, no, they were the runner-up last year. Sorry, they were runner-up in Apertura. They were the winner of Clausura last year. So pretty big deal for them. So I'm hoping Laguna doesn't actually look that great. As you said before, they didn't really have a great year. They're not really having a good year this year. Is that right, Uz?
Yeah, they started with huge expectations. They were expected to compete in the Apertura and Clausura, but they I can't remember the exact thing that set them on their downfall. I think maybe their coach left. Something happened, and they've just bombed this season, which is unfortunate for them. But for as a Rapids fan, I gotta say it's not looking too bad.
Yeah.
If they can get past Olympia.
Yeah, if they can get past Olympia, that's a big
just
deal.
Just one of many reasons you hope for them to get past Olympia.
Because Olympia looks like a very good team. They've got most of their squad from their being the runner-up and the winner of the Clausura in the Honduran League. Real España was I believe they were the winner last year of the Apertura.
Honduras, yes.
Yeah, in the Honduras. They've also competed a lot. They're the most recent, I think, they were the most recent club to go to, both. CONCACAF Champions League, España and Olympia have both been there before. Olympia was the runner-up in 2000, and in 2000, España was actually dumped out by the Galaxy back in 2000. Oddly enough.
Oh, good.
Speaking of,
so we have a
we have
recent history.
That's correct. We have at least some kind of recent history with those guys. So
then again, the Galaxy won it all in 2000.
That's so. Correct. Unlike some clubs in the United States.
Unlike some clubs in the United States who. Let's not try this again. We made this joke last week. We're good on Salt Lake jokes for a two-week period.
Now, the two teams that I'm also looking at, Metapan, they've never gotten quite far in the Champions League, but they do like to play the upset. Like the last time I think they played an American team, last time that I remember was, anyone remember there was a Houston game that they played? They actually dumped Houston out. They actually played the upset and dumped Houston out of the Champions League. And I think,
That was recent.
That was in 2009.
Ish. Yeah.
It was in 2009. Metapan dumped out Houston. They didn't get to advance themselves. They just got to play the upset to Houston. Which, nothing to sneeze at, I guess. And they have to play in against one of these four.
One of four.
And I think the ones who's going to pull through are the Islanders out of all those. Like, the Islanders seem to be.
No, not the Islanders.
Do any hockey teams play in the MLS now?
Yes.
The Puerto Rico Islanders. We actually have one of their guys on trial. Logan Emery off the Islanders was on trial with us for a little while. He didn't actually get a contract, so he's back with them. They've
got kind of an undeserved reputation for being giant killers in national competition.
Yeah, they got this reputation for being giant killers mostly because of LA, wasn't it? Because they just downed LA this one time, and everyone thought LA was going to go through, but they've never actually gotten through.
One of the Canadian teams as well.
They've never actually gotten
either
through
Toronto or Vancouver or somebody a few years back.
They got to the semifinals one year, I guess, in CONCACAF, but or whatever it was, in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, like back in the day. But they'd never gotten past the group stage in the recent,
in the league?
Yeah, in the CONCACAF Champions
League. Since the Reformation.
Right, since the Reformation. So you know, I'm not too worried about either of those teams, but both of those teams have something in common. They're both known, they both like to play the upset, even though they don't get through normally themselves. They've been upsetting, you know, bigger teams, like, although I don't know if you can call Houston a big team, but Houston was about to make.
Well, they were pretty damn good back in 2009.
Yeah, back in 2006.
You don't win two straight cups by not being a good team.
I suppose that's true, but yeah.
And again, that was against the Revs.
another team there, but yeah, I mean, the draw seems to be favorable. There's a couple teams in there that if you go to sleep, if you sleep on them, they'll pounce on you. That's, you know, either Metapan or perhaps the Islanders.
And well, you know, the Rapids are a team that if you sleep on them, they can pounce.
True.
On.
One of the things I'm really pleased about with the Rapids draw is just the way that we play and the way that we've seen sort of like Honduran teams, Mexican teams play. I think one of the guys, I think it's Paul, said it's really hard to samba the ball if you don't have it. So that was something where I'm like, yeah.
FC Dallas, anyone?
Yeah, right? It's really hard to play samba. It's really hard to play samba with the ball when you just don't have the ball. So
play a possession game. It's good.
It's good. Good ball.
Okay, so the ideal draw, I think, for the Rapids would be the Rapids, obviously, Real España, Santos beating Olympia, and Defense Force coming through. Their Defense Force. Just because Joe Public FC isn't playing this year, that's why.
I
don't even remember where Joe Public FC plays.
I can't remember that either.
Are they another Trinidad and Tobago team?
You know what? I don't remember Joe Public FC.
I know the Crew played them last year, and they, like, creamed them, I think, en route to losing to Real Salt Lake in the semi or in the quarters.
Oof. Yeah. Ouch.
I don't even remember. We've spent enough time on CONCACAF.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. There was a game last weekend, if you didn't know.
There was.
It was against DC United.
Hey.
We drew 1-1, which was a fair result on pretty much everyone's list except for Ben's, who wanted to win in a clean sheet.
Yeah, I wanted to win.
By the way, congratulations, Jed.
Yes.
You had the closest prediction.
Yes.
At 2-1, I predicted 2-0, and Ben predicted 1-0. So you win the grand prize of absolutely nothing.
Woo!
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The Rapids Thugcast, sponsored by absolutely nothing. For all your tasteless needs.
Let's listen to the absolutely nothing jingle. Nope. Shh. Be quiet.
Yeah, okay, sorry. The absolutely nothing jingle is Ben giggling. That's what it is.
Congratulations, Jed.
Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations, Jed. You'll be sent your absolutely nothing in the mail.
Awesome.
I'd hand deliver it to you, but no.
Speaking of fair result, the fair result against DC United and the scoreline and Jed's correct prediction of, well, not entirely correct, but
no,
closest
he didn't predict
to,
it correctly. He was just the only one who thought DC would score.
Yeah.
And they did. Let's not get into how.
Well, you know what? It was a fairly even game. DC had the lion's share of the possession, also better passing accuracy, better passing overall, like they have more passes overall.
Even had they not had the PK, I mean,
yeah, they were really.
I think someone would have gone in because they're getting really aggressive, and we were on the defensive end of it a lot.
Yeah, that's
the question
half.
Wasn't about whether they would get the PK. It was the question of what was going to be called as a PK.
Yeah.
Terry Vaughn's terrible makeup call there. When Pontius pushed Koske over in the box.
I don't know. How do you guys feel about makeup calls? I feel like makeup calls are Bush League sort of stuff. Like, if you're not going to call
there
should not be a makeup call. It's like, okay, you blew the call. You don't need to blow two calls in order to, like, two wrongs don't make a right.
Had they called the Larenowitz tackle, I would have been fine with the result.
Yeah, because you could see, like, okay, I can see how that would have been called, you know, a PK. But Pontius initiating the contact with Kosuke Kimura, then falling down. And, I mean, he had a post-game quote where he said, like, you know, I was going in, got the contact. I mean, he was clear. He must have been looking for contact because he made it.
Yeah.
And there it is, right there.
Brilliant. Well, 1-1, not a terrible result against DC United, especially in RFK where the Rapids can't buy a win unless
Mehdi Bellucci gets it for you. That's right, guys. I said it.
Shut up. Shut up. All right, join us next week as I get a new second guest as well.
Oh, Mehdi Bellucci.
Just going to do this myself next time, you right, jackasses.
and also...
Yeah, well, it's a point on the road. It's five points out of three games on the road. Had you told me we'd get 5 points out of that road trip, I would have gladly taken it beforehand.
Yeah. Definitely. I'd take that.
I think Houston's a tough place to play. New England's got, like, the worst pitch in the world.
In the world. Making that statement now.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know
what? Prove me wrong.
Listen, I'll prove you wrong right now. The Sounders pitch is much worse. They can't even play on it, right?
Good point. Only when it's raining.
Right, John
Spencer? Hey, it's hard to play in the rain.
So
they don't practice in the rain. When would Seattle have a chance to practice in the rain? I ask you,
when would they be under those kinds of conditions in Seattle?
This is just unfair. This is all Don Garber's fault. He's clearly got a bias against Seattle, making them play in the rain.
That Don Garber, what's he thinking?
Speaking of bad games, and what usually makes a bad game is lots of fouls, I suppose. And just to get us back on topic on the DC game.
Here's a fun stat.
And I've been noticing this stat appearing a lot. Rapids were out-fouled 2-1. That's 15 fouls committed by DC, 7 fouls committed by the Rapids. Although, of course, we have 2 yellow cards for the Rapids, one of which, extremely lucky, I think, was Drew Moore's. And they were really soft yellow cards. Remember Drew Moore going in? It's he and Dax McCarty. And Dax McCarty looks like he's got an open field in front of him. He looks like he's going to get past Drew Moore. And Drew kind of, I guess, maybe shouldered him a bit. And Dax went down real easy, and they were looking for the red on that one because Drew was, I think, technically the last defender there. But that was a lucky that was just a yellow. And then Pickens got a yellow for time wasting. I don't get that one.
Well, again, I didn't watch the game, so
yeah, it's
that's what that okay that wasn't yeah
he
that,
got
that
a yellow
for,
he got a yellow for time wasting, and it's weird, and I think this is going to come back and get back to that meme where people say the Rapids are a dirty team, where
Thugcast.
That's why we're the Rapids.
If you hadn't figured out the name yet, yeah, that's the reason
we're the dirtiest team in the league, who was out fouled 15 to 7. It's weird, man.
We're just saving our hard fouls.
Yeah, right. But you know what? A lot of our fouls, I looked at the stats, we have a pretty high ratio of fouls to yellow cards. So maybe our fouls are harder. I don't know, but it doesn't look like that from the yellows that we got. One of them was a shoulder, and the other one was time wasting. So, I don't know. I guess I almost want
to. That's a tough time wasting foul, though.
It almost makes you want to keep track of what fouls happen and why they earned a yellow card, just so at the end of the season you can go through it, as opposed to having this entire meme built up of, Rapids are a dirty team, blah, 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 blah.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. We appreciate getting reader mail or listener mail. Now we have listeners instead of just viewers.
Yeah,
readers.
It's true.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
I'm kidding. No one's listening to this.
It's
no one's listening to this. Well, we got an email the other day. Ben got an email. I don't know why he sent it to Ben. Ben, are you slowly taking over this blog? Is that your plan here?
I don't know.
He likes Ben's long, flowing blonde hair.
It's true.
He does.
My thick beard.
Everyone in this group, has at some time had long, flowing blonde hair.
It's true.
Ben's just the one who has it right now.
Right.
Fun fact.
Fun fact,
you'll see that on a Burgundy Wave podcast quiz trivia.
Yes. All right. Anyway, a guy named Paul Merritt sent us a email about Kosuke Kimura, and we figured we'd cover it on the podcast. If you have any questions or comments or anything you'd like to see us talk about, you can feel free to email me or Ben.
Or Jed.
You can No Dude, one knows Jet's email address.
How email me, guys.
Email. How did they? How did they email you? Your email address isn't on the site.
Who, Ben?
Yes. Me. If you go down to the bottom, the only email address available is mine.
Yeah. People just.
This is just taking it.
Anyway, well, also, guys. Paul, anyway, no, Paul's he a, Paul's sent, a friend he of, sent an email. Paul's gonna... a friend of mine from the BSG, so he has my email.
Address. Oh, okay, that's why.
Cool, cool. Yeah. Thanks for the email, by the way, Paul.
Not creepy.
Yeah,
Paul.
Thanks for the email. I'll read the email first. We can laugh at this first line. Burgundy Wave's getting a fair amount of visibility. Oh, you funny men make funny joke.
It's funny because they can't see us at all. Because how would we be getting visibility if we're...
Visibility. Yeah, visibility, sure.
Oh,
and then he said, well-deserved, I might add. So we deserve visibility that we're getting.
Paul, you're a funny guy. Okay, funny guy.
That's enough time laughing at our own blog. See, Paul, you killed Jed. You have single-handedly killed Jed. Right. You jerk. Anyway. No, he said, that being said, I was wondering what you guys would think about running an open letter to Gary Smith saying what everyone is already thinking. It's time for Koske to sit down for a while, play with the reserves, and get his mojo back. The musical chairs routine on his side of the midfield and in the back have really taken a toll on his decision-making and confidence, and his current run of form is going to cost us big at some point. Paul Merritt. It's a good point.
Paul Merritt, I must say, just from that email, you should probably be the one on this podcast, not me.
Yeah, Paul. if Jed dies in the next week, I'll give you a call. Yeah, you know. No, it's a fine point. Koske, he's been getting beat up recently. The Houston game in particular, I think both yellow cards called on Houston were fouls against Kimura, and he was, like, stomped on by Brad Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And then he played him in the midfield, which, while he is a high-energy guy who doesn't run out of juice that easily, midfielder is a different beast than defender.
Mm. Yeah,
and he's played there for two games now.
Right.
He played there in New England, and he played there for, like, 20 minutes, I think, of the Houston match.
Mm-hmm.
So tough.
Yeah, it's a problem when you... Koske is a versatile guy, but honestly, I think his versatility is that he's an attacking right back. It translates itself pretty well into the midfield, but there's going to be issues with that in terms of, like, who's next to you, who you're communicating with, and the fact that the defensive line has been completely, I mean, it keeps getting shuffled except for basically Kimura and Drew because of the Wallace injury. And is Wallace healed up? It seems like he is. He's just...
I thought he was for the DC game. They just didn't play him. Because he's been on the bench for three straight games now.
Yeah. And
so I assume he'll be available for that one.
Yeah, and if Marshall... to Paul's point, and I was just... My thought was, like, who do we have at right back? Like, who do we put in? And the two...
We could put in Wynn, or we could put in Moore.
You could put in... You can play Moore on the right? I thought Moore was on the left.
I thought Moore was on the right as well. I thought he could play all three positions.
He can play any position.
Maybe not very well, but I thought he could play all three positions.
I think that as long...
He could be keeper.
Tyrone Marshall keeps up his good performance, I think he's been performing pretty well.
He hasn't made very many mistakes. That was what the big knock on him from the Seattle fans were, is, oh, he's mistake prone.
Yeah. Well,
and he made that terrible mistake. He, like, tripped over his invisible shoelaces in the box against New England and gave Shaury Joseph that great header that Pickens made the big save on.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, he's been solid.
He's been pretty good. And if he keeps playing pretty well, like he has been, then he can take over Wynn's spot in the center, thus moving Wynn outright, which is his
natural position.
Well, it's the position he was playing before he was here. Before he came here and started playing as center back, and I really don't know what his natural position is. He plays really well as a center back, and he plays really well as a right back. So,
supposedly, his natural position was right back before he came here and got coached by Gary Smith,
who made him much more versatile. And
yay!
And Moore can play left or center back, but, you know, keep him at center back. And if Wally comes back fit, then I see no reason to not slide him back in at left back and put Moore back in the center.
And like I said in the email I sent back to Paul, Eddie Abbabio was drafted this year, and if he's healthy, he fits the exact same mold that Kimura does. Very high energy, fast, attacking right back.
And you were there for the draft, weren't you?
I was. Well, Abbabio wasn't there, which
but, I mean, you
annoyed
heard,
the
you
heck
heard
out
the,
of me because I couldn't
the staff,
talk to him.
You heard what the staff said about Abbabio. You got a chance, like you heard what they were looking at?
Yes. I talked to Charlie Wright, and he's pretty much Kimura 2.0, just in the way he plays.
Right. He's a fast attacking right back.
He's even better at attacking than Kosuke is, because that's pretty much all he did at North Carolina. He played forward at some points for North Carolina when he wasn't playing right back.
Okay.
The guy has a real good nose for goal.
Okay.
And if he does score as a Rapid, it won't be in like the same way Kosuke did, where he sent a big cross into the box and it just bounced funky.
Yeah.
And, you know, John Bush had no idea what was going on. Oh, hey, look, 2 weeks in a row making fun of the Earthquakes. We shouldn't make fun of the Earthquakes. They finally won a game.
That's true. They did
Yay.
Win a game.
It was against Columbus, but they won a game.
It's Yay. And they resoundingly beat Columbus as well, like 3-0.
Yeah, 3-0.
Whew, if only.
Yeah, Stephenson had another wonder goal from a long way out like he did against Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Wondolowski realized, oh, it's once every three games I should probably score.
Right.
Instead of missing every open chance I see. Anyway, Toronto is the next game. We might actually get this done on time. No. Toronto is the next game. Toronto FC at home. The thing with Toronto is they're currently playing in the Voyagers Cup, which is the only trophy that you can win, really, as a Canadian soccer team. What?
Good one. That's good.
What? Hey, when one of them starts challenging for the MLS Cup, I'll say it. Or the CCL or anything.
Good point.
All right,
right
smack in the middle of the two legs of the Voyagers Cup is the Rapids-Toronto game. Toronto versus Vancouver is that cup match. And Toronto pulled out a heck of a result, getting a 1-1 draw last night in Toronto with away goals. Or in Vancouver, rather, with away goals. So going into Toronto, the got a pretty good chance to win this, so I would not be surprised to see Toronto's second team coming out to face Colorado on Sunday.
Yeah,
and it's at home for the Rapids, so despite the injury problems and the suspension problems we still have, this should be a win for Colorado and a fairly easy one.
Okay.
And they don't have De Rosario anymore, so their best attacking threat's gone as well.
That is their creativity gets blown out the window by that one. I'm just looking through a couple stats right now because I like looking at the numbers.
Yeah. Their best attacker right now is Jael Plata, who is 5'3".
I guess he's not going to win any aerial battles anytime soon against Drew Moore Marshall.
The way he scores is he's speedy and he's small, so he can get by people.
Yeah, if you you know what, if you got a guy like that, put Wynn in the center and see how well he does against that guy. See how well he does in a foot race against Marvell Wynn. Looking at a couple different stats here, I'm predicting it's gonna be a chippy. I predict a chippy game. It's not gonna be. What's gonna rain on? Was it Sunday? Saturday?
I hope not.
Yeah, I think it's Sunday. I think it's going to rain on Sunday. I think the weather's predicting a rainy game. And also, just to point out, in terms of fouls, Toronto FC is the third highest for fouls committed.
Woohoo!
Rapids are fifth highest for fouls suffered. So, I'm predicting it's going to be chippy
this
out there.
This will go well.
Mostly coming from Toronto. I'm predicting they're probably going to come out pretty aggressive. Toronto has – they're very aggressive in terms of their shots. They take a lot of shots. Shots on goal, it's 48, but they've only made about 11 of those. So not –
And some of those were before Dero left.
So they've had – they've played 11 games. They've scored 11 goals. So they're averaging, you know, one goal per game average.
Yeah.
Rapids, on the other hand, 91 shots. 12 goals. So.
Not much shot.
32 shots, 12 goals.
Yeah, I was going to say 92 shots.
Yeah,
what are we?
32 shots.
Hold on, what are we?
32 shots
Columbus
on goal.
Columbus stats right there.
Right. 32 shots on goal.
And 12 goals.
So.
Slightly better.
Yeah, and 12 goals in 10 games. So that's we're better at scoring, better at converting chances. And you know,
and Bruno hasn't been missing all of their strikers all year long like we have.
That is
except
true.
For Dero, who they got rid of on their own terms. So that's their own fault.
Yeah, their own fault there. And that's really all I can say from the numbers. It does look like, you know, Colorado plays a bit cleaner. They're probably going to be a chippy game, I think, like I said, just given weather conditions and the propensity for fouls by Toronto versus the propensity to receive fouls from Colorado.
Clearly, they're the dirtiest team in the league.
Yeah, clearly. No, the clearly. Dirtiest team. Now, just pointing out, if you want to go by fouls committed, dirtiest team in the league, it is Seattle Sounders.
You know what? I'm all right with that.
162 okay with that. Fouls committed in 11 games. So, they're wow. definitely up there in terms of fouls committed. Colorado actually all the way down in the middle, predictably behind the Houston. I always think that Houston plays a particularly tough style of ball. But, you know, they keep it relatively clean. They're down there right in the middle with us.
Well, it happens.
Yeah. So yeah, 119 to 162, Sounders fans.
One thing to point out, you talked about Toronto's offense. I want to talk about their defense. They are the worst defensively in the league except for DC. DC has allowed 18 goals. Toronto's allowed 17. Tied with Sporting Kansas City with a -6 goal differential.
Yeah.
So you can they are scoring a goal per game, but they're letting in about a goal and a half per game.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's a good point.
So they'll be fouling us a lot, and they have no defense. So if the Rapids can actually figure out how to score from a set piece,
which we do, because
which
we did
we're actually
score.
Doing now, which is awesome.
Because
for the first like
that,
six games of the season, they couldn't score from a set piece to save their lives.
Yeah.
However, one of the set piece scores was a total fluke.
Which one was that?
Guess.
Tally Hall.
Which one do you think? One of those was a total fluke. I don't know which one.
I was about to say, the better not be talking about the Drew Moore one, because I was so happy when that guy scored. Man.
Me too.
No. Who's not happy when Drew Moore scores a goal?
DC fans?
DC fans, probably.
My favorite highlight from last year was his header.
No, his Superman header.
Yeah,
I didn't like the Superman header. I liked him almost killing himself afterwards, celebrating.
I think Drew's almost killed himself twice celebrating. Yeah. Like, you remember when it was the San Jose game, and Drew, you know, leaps up to go celebrate with the fans, and he smacks his head on the concrete.
And there was the time he brought the noose. That was funny.
Yeah, anyway, predictions for the game, Ben.
I'm predicting it depends. I mean, if Connor Casey's back, I
Connor
predict
should
he bags
play a full 90. That's what I'm going to assume.
If he plays
or
a full 90,
or at least the first 70 or so.
I predict he's going to bag a brace, and I also predict that we're going to get a PK at some point. I don't know who's going to take it. I don't know who's going to get it, but
if we get a PK, Connor will take it.
I'm thinking 3-1 Rapids. 3-1 Rapids.
Right.
This is going to be a good one.
All right, Jed.
I was actually going to predict 3-1 Rapids.
All right, well,
because I still don't trust us with getting a shutout at this point in the season.
Yeah, well, it's Toronto, so it's not going to be quite as difficult as it was against DC.
And
it's got like Davies and Wolf and Nahar to worry about,
yeah.
And Terry Vaughn.
And if Casey plays, I'm going to predict a Casey goal.
A Casey goal.
Yes.
You know who will score the other two? Just guess.
Jamie Smith.
Jamie Smith will score the other two.
Yep.
All right. Personally, I'm thinking I'm going to predict the same thing I did for DC because I'm a jackass and I'm going to predict this every week. 2-0. In fact, I'm going to predict the same goal scorers as well, Casey and Akpan.
You're really liking that Akpan guy.
I love Andre Akpan, and I've called him the next Omar Cummings, and I've meant it every time I've said that.
Yeah.
And if... does Jamaica play in the Gold Cup?
Yes, they do.
All right. Well, then we're probably going to be seeing a lot of Andre Akpan in the coming months. Because Omar will most likely be on that Jamaica squad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be silly not to take him.
Yeah. Well, I hear he's good.
You hear this, Omar Cummings?
I've heard tell that Omar Cummings is an all right soccer player. All right, we are over 40 minutes, and we're trying to keep this as short as possible so that we don't get into the No Fan Alone 3-hour podcast territory.
Yep.
Don't want to step on their toes.
What?
Don't want to step on their toes.
No, don't want to step. No, we have our own little genre over here. Do they have a logo? I don't think so.
I think they do, actually.
Shut up. Our logo is better than theirs. Is their logo wearing a watch?
You know what?
That's what I thought.
Oddly enough, there's no watch.
See, we thought of everything. Okay, I'd like to thank everyone for being on the show, Ben and Jed, as usual.
I'd like to thank Paul. Paul Merritt for sending that email.
Starman for making that logo for us. It was very cool of him to do so. It took him about 5 minutes, I think.
Can I just point out one good thing about me being a Rapids fan, and that is that apparently in soccer, when I become a fan of a team, they win silver.
Yeah, he's also a Man City fan, so.
Because the year that I became a Rapids fan, they wound up going on to win the MLS Cup, and then the same year that I became a Man City fan, they won
the FA Cup, yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Well done. Ben would request you become a Chelsea fan immediately.
Yeah, you know what? I think we'll win silverware regardless.
I'm not so
like
sure
both
that
of
they
you
need me, yeah.
Like both of you transfer to Crystal Palace for like 1 year.
Well, you know,
just so we don't get relegated. Like that would be a trophy.
You know, I don't have a team in the second division of English football.
Well, there you go. Palace is the one for you. I can't believe I'm whoring Crystal Palace on the Rapids podcast.
You know, Bamber probably loves you for that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, Bamber's going to come up to me. It's going to be like, oh, thank you so much for doing that. We got all sorts of new fans here, boy. Oh, that's great. Because that's what he sounds like.
Literally.
Have we stopped recording? Are we done?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, fuck this.
We're done.
Bye, everyone.
Anyway.
All right. See you
bye.
Guys.
Okay, now you can stop.
I love you. I love you. I love you all.